Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, Editorial Director of the ECHR News. We wanted to get an update on all legislation and regulations that could be affecting the HVAC contractor and thought who better to talk to than Chris Czarnecki, who handles government relations for ACCA. Welcome to the pod, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to start off with the new administration and the new Congress you guys are now dealing with. What are the early returns in regards to how open they are of hearing the concerns of ACCA and the HVAC industry as a whole?
Yeah, so, it's split, I would say. On one hand, I think there's room for a lot of cooperation in areas like energy efficiency tax credits, as well as workforce. That's a big issue for our members. When we surveyed them, that was overwhelmingly their number one concern was workforce issues. So we're really hoping to make a lot of headway there. But on the other hand, you have things like, President Biden's last week, he unveiled his proposed tax plan, which would be, the first major tax increase in 30 years. So that's not something that our members are looking for, especially in the midst of an economic recovery, from the recession brought on about by the pandemic. There's some give and take there. It's a different landscape than what we saw under the Trump administration. But I think a sticking point is that both houses of Congress are pretty, pretty tight. The Democrats do have the majority in both houses, but it's a slim advantage that they hold. So, there is a need for bipartisanship and compromise, and I think that we can take advantage of that to the benefit of contractors.
Okay. Hey, you mentioned the Biden tax issues there. It sounds like I know he wanted to raise the corporate tax as well as the kind of personal income tax. Is that something ACCA gets involved in? I guess I thought you guys more of industry legislation, but kind of anything that's going to affect a small business or your contractors, you kind of want to let them know about?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So included in this would be a hike in the death tax, which is an issue that we've been involved with over the years. It would move the threshold from, I believe it's $11.7 million to $3.5 million, which, $11.7 million, that affects, contractors, but most smaller businesses aren't affected. If it was moved to $3.5 million, that would affect a lot of our members. This is a tax where, it's said that they use the kitchen sink approach. So when they're assessing, an estate that they're looking at, they count everything from fleet vehicles to furniture, real estate. And even client lists have been known to count towards that threshold. And, $11.7 million can add up quickly. $3.5 million would add up very quickly. And in addition, in the proposal, it would raise the tax rate from 40% to 45%. So that would hit our members pretty hard. This is one of the most confiscatory federal taxes out there. And we recently just announced our support of the Death Tax Repeal Act of 2021 bipartisan legislation in the House and Senate that would repeal the death tax entirely. Given the current administration and the composition of Congress, this isn't something that we necessarily would expect to pass, but this is a long-term issue that we will continue to fight for.
So just to make sure listeners are up to speed on it. So if a contractor has an untimely death, and then the business would maybe go to the kids, right. anything we get with that business would be subject to tax, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Are you guys working? I know this is a big issue with Hardy. They have all the inventory and stuff. So that whatever the $3.6 million, whatever you gave it. It goes a lot faster for a distributor. Is that something you guys are working in tandem with to try to push back on this?
Alex Ayers actually has been great helping us out. He's over at Hardy. And this is something that has been on their radar as well for a long time. And I'll say in the Senate, Senator Thune, and in the House, Senator Smith have been great on this issue.
Okay. And when you noted in the first answer there, you said your contractor members are really concerned about workforce issues. Can you kind of define mm-hmm. that a little bit? What do you mean when you say workforce issues?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it boils down to, most fundamentally, there's a labor shortage in all the trades, but HVAC is no exception to that. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimated there would be or will be roughly 115,000 job openings that need to be filled in the HVAC industry alone over the next 5 years, and that poses an issue for our members, and that's something that we're actively working towards closing. Let's see here. Most recently, I think last week, the Jobs Act was introduced in the Senate and the House. It's bipartisan, again, bipartisan legislation that would allow Pell Grants to be extended to the trades. Right now, there's restrictions on what programs, and it's mostly, traditional four-year higher ed stuff. The Jobs Act would extend that to more so to the trades. So that's something we're looking at, as well as, just in general, more funding for career and technical education and as well as legislation at the state level. A lot of states have started to take things into their own hands in that respect.
I know that was a big issue for President Trump. And in fact, I think I remember mm-hmm. ACA being up at the White House for a big right. launch of the apprenticeship program. Do you see, maybe it's too early to tell, but do you see the Biden administration kind of following up on that, or is the motivation waning a little bit?
I would say it's too early to tell. They have made their intentions clear that they want to strengthen unions, and they may, do that through certain workforce initiatives. But like you said, it's probably too early to tell.
Okay. Had a few topics I want to run through. I was going to start off with the one that was possibly a moneymaker, because that's always a winner for contractors. I've heard a lot about the school funds in the COVID relief bill that can hopefully go to HVAC contractors to fix ventilation systems. Can you kind of fill us in on what that's all about?
Yeah, so there is a massive amount of money out there. In the last year's year-end COVID spending bill, I think it was $53 million that was going to K-12. And then the most recent one, there's, I think, another billion. Most recently, another $103 billion that's going to reopening schools. So it also includes, things like PPE and measures for social distancing. But those funds are also eligible for HVAC improvements. This is something that we've been, kind of sounding the alarm on for a while now. In June, we reported on a GAO study that stated over half of all school districts required some level of HVAC improvements. So we really hope that those same school districts take advantage of these funds improve, replace, repair, whatever needs to be done to their HVAC systems, and hopefully to the benefit of our members. Those funds are distributed, either have been or will be shortly, distributed to state and local education agencies, and then from there distributed to individual schools to, be used as said agencies, districts, schools see fit. We just really hope that they take advantage of that money for HVAC, because it's certainly needed.
So what are you advising your contractors? Kind of reach out to the schools and maybe educate them what they can use? Because I'm assuming the summer is a great time to do this when the kids aren't in school.
Right, yeah. The schools, school districts, state education agencies, different states and localities will have different processes to go through. But, putting your name out there, seeing if there's any work to be had, because I'm sure there will be.
Want to talk a little bit about the COVID liability for businesses as well, kind of stick with the COVID angle a little bit. I know that they're trying to find a balance, right, between rewarding employers that take, good measures to protect their employees, but you also don't want to protect the employers that aren't doing stuff. So what are ACA's thoughts on this? And it might be a tough line to draw, I'm guessing.
Over the summer, we were really hopeful that we would get federal liability protection passed. When Republicans had control of the Senate, they had that as one of their sticking points for any deal. Eventually, was sort of dropped from the table. But now we're more focused on the state level. Several states, I think it's up in the 20s now, if not up over half, have some level of liability protection. The Florida House recently passed a bill that would protect essential workers from COVID-related lawsuits as long as they take, standard precautions. So what we're doing is we're calling on, the states that don't have it to pass some level of it, because there's not much hope of that getting passed at the federal level at this point.
You always love it, right? When you have to go state by state versus the federal, right? It seems like that's a reoccurring
And
theme sometime in this.
And sometimes that is the more effective route.
I want to talk about one last COVID talk. I know everyone's probably sick of talking about COVID, but vaccinations. I know ACA was instrumental in getting the HVC folks kind of to the front of the line. It seems like we're getting to the point where there's enough vaccinations that maybe it's making it a little bit easier. But were you happy with how that went? And then also, is there any legislation or rules about employers and employees as far as the vaccination, whether you can make it mandatory or anything like that?
Yeah, I can't really speak to the second half of that. I'm not sure, but as you I'm sure the rollout of the vaccines has been pretty disjointed. It varies widely again from state to state. We did call on states to prioritize essential workers, including HVAC workers, for vaccine access. And in several states they were. We've heard from people that it's difficult to get information on how they can get shots, on where in line they are. But I think at the end of the day that despite that disjointed rollout, shots have been going in arms, and it has been going faster than originally anticipated. President Biden recently announced that everyone that wants a vaccine should be able to have one by May, and I think that's good progress, and is ahead of what we had originally anticipated. Especially with how it looked at the beginning.
Sure. And just I guess we'll change subjects a little bit here. Seems like the end of the year went pretty good in terms of getting HVC tax deductions and extensions and credits for both the residential and commercial work. Kind of what's on your radar for this year in that regard, either for the contractor or the consumer, because it helps both, right?
The biggest win on that front, I would say, was getting the 179D commercial deduction permanent. And we had worked with Congressman Roger Williams on that. And that was a huge win. And we would like to do the same with the 25C credit for homeowners, as well as the 45L credit for developers. But those two were both extended. We were happy to see that. I know there's the Home Energy Savings Act introduced in the House. Not sure if it's been reintroduced in the Senate, but that would expand the 25C credit. I don't have the specifics on hand, I'm sorry. But let's see. Yeah, I guess bottom line is we're going to keep working on extension, permanence, and expansion on all fronts, and we're happy to see progress on that front at the end of last year.
Do you have a good feeling about the 25C being permanent, or is it a bit more of an uphill battle here?
I do have confidence on that front. Like I had said before, energy efficiency tax credits are a bipartisan thing where I see cooperation from both sides of the aisle and sympathy from the administration. on that issue.
And I know the geothermal tax credits were in the end of the year as well. Were you guys involved in that, and how do you think that's going to help the industry? I assume it's good to be on level playing field with the solar and wind folks.
Yeah, I think you hit on it. Good to be on a level playing field. I'm happy to see that in there as well. We were a little less directly involved, but it was a win for contractors as well.
And then also in that bill at the end of the year, the AIM Act, was about the refrigerant phase down. I want to tell the audience a little bit about what was included in that bill, and if you think because that was passed, it going back to the states again, it'd make it less likely for the states to do their own thing.
Yeah, again, you said it. That bill requires a phase down of 85% of HFCs over 10 years. And that's, you know, the mandate that Congress gave to the EPA. So they're concerned with that. ACCA's concern has been and continues to be safety for all those involved in the handling of these mildly flammable A2Ls that pose, you know, different hazards than HFCs did. You know, that's why we put a lot of time, energy, and resources into developing a training, you know, making sure that consumers, contractors, and everyone else up and down the line are safe when they come into contact with these A2Ls. Yeah, like you said, as far as, you know, the states, we were hoping for preemption that would, you know, keep the states from going off on their own schedules, sort of in a patchwork fashion. But, you know, federal phase down hopefully will dissuade states from going off and doing their own thing.
And was that the number and the time frame you guys were kind of hoping for? Was it better than you expected, worse than you expected?
I guess I would say it's sort of what we expected. It was there. I don't know. It didn't come as a shock, I'll put it that way.
Okay. And just a final question. I know this was also talked about on the COVID relief bill, but it got either kicked later or just kicked off. I'm not quite sure. But the $15 minimum wage, does ACCA have a stance on that in regard to, you know, what should happen or how it would impact the industry? I'm guessing most people are paying more than $15, but any law has unintended consequences. What are your thoughts?
Right. Yeah, we haven't necessarily weighed in on that. You know, I guess not too much to say. No official position at this time.
Okay. And then also, before we wrap this up, I wanted to ask you if there's any legislation or regulation that should be on contractors' radar, either to help mobilize them to talk to their local representatives, or perhaps give them a heads up because it's going to affect them and their business.
Yeah, we recently issued an action alert on the PRO Act, the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. That's H.R. 842 and S. 420. This is legislation that would radically rewrite our country's labor laws in the favor of unions. You know, for instance, it gives unions the power to demand employers not do business with other non-union companies. It gives unions the sole determination over the manner of which elections are conducted. It would do away with secret balloting. And it also completely eliminates right to work laws at the state level, among, you know, a bunch of other troubling provisions. I think that, you know, if our members and contractors aren't aware of that, they should be. This is legislation that is, you know, not friendly for employers, and it also strips the rights of employees to a degree, you know, whether or not they want to be in a union.
All right. Well, Chris, we appreciate the time and the information. If our contractor listeners here want to kind of either get involved or stay up to date on these topics, I guess we're sending them to the ACCA website, or do you have a section of the ACCA website that kind of fills them in? I'll let you make your pitch for ACCA, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ACCA is happy to be the voice of contractors, you know, in government. If you're a member, go to ACCA.org. Under the advocacy tab, you can learn more about our efforts. And if you're not an ACCA member, we'd love to have you.
All right. Sounds great, Chris. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Kyle.